You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let me get ready for the Bible study tonight. I'm going to keep that right there. Let's get it right in the middle. Who can tell me for $500, Monopoly money, who can tell me what type of car that is? Let me see here. I'm looking around here. Brother Sam, what is that? What is it? 56 Ford. Wrong. You're close, Sam. From there, it really, you know, the 56 or 55 and 50, they all look so much alike. Okay, Brother Dill. Sorry. 55 Chevy, wow. And he's right, it's a Bel Air. There was a 150 you could buy. There's a 210 you could buy. And you could buy this beautiful 55 Chevy. I have it here because I just want to tell you tonight, I really believe I would be a better pastor if you would buy me one of these. Nora, this is from you and Brother John. Years ago, you brought this at the Franklin Mint for me. It's a beautiful car. It becomes a convertible there. And you sound like elementary kids now. Every week I show them a video of a rock or something. Ooh, ah, and they don't know what they're talking about. But that's a, Brother Bruce, I need that car. Would you lead the fight? See Bruce back there. He's going to start raising money for us. I think I'll preach on a car next week too. The reason why I have this 55, prior to 55, they would call them 1954. I remember, my wife doesn't believe this, but I had in high school about 10 cars. I would flip cars, I'd sell them. I had a 54 Studebaker. That was a little ahead of its time, the way it had that slick, Brother Bill. But that 54 Studebaker, I had a 54 Ford pickup, just like yours, but black. I had a 54 Ford, a 54 Chevy, a 52 Chevy. I had all these different cars, a 63 Mercury. I had all these different cars and I'd flip them. But prior to 55, they called them 1954, 1953. But in 55, they called it the 55. In 56, they began calling it the 56. In 57, the 57. I want you to turn tonight to Psalm 55. I hope this car will be a reminder. There's one particular verse that I want you to underscore when we get there tonight. But I want to look tonight at Psalm 55. It is a great psalm. And by the way, this car right here, the body style, Brother Harder, you had for years in your extra garage next door a 55 Chevy Bel Air, just like this. Hard top. They didn't put a post in the Bel Air in the middle. It was all open like that. That's just beautiful. I felt led about 40 years ago for you to give me that car. And you gave it to your son. Shame on you. And I hope he can never restore it. But nonetheless, a 55 Chevy. I want this to recall your memory. 55, Psalm 55. Our Father, tonight, I'm so excited about the Bible study. I pray they'd learn things tonight from this Psalm, Psalm 55. So special. Open our eyes to it is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to see several things about the Psalm. Would you read, first of all, with me, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 55, 1 and 2. Ready, begin. Give ear to my prayer.
Attend unto me and hear me. I warn you my complaint
Thank you for reading the scripture like that. I normally don't tell about where I travel, but I was preaching Monday night and Tuesday morning in Georgia this week. And I had a huge crowd, 150 preachers, maybe 200 preachers, and all the delegates and all the, and the music was just over the top. And the preaching of all the preachers was over the top. But when I said, turn with me in your Bibles and let's read together, they didn't read as good as our kindergarten, our elementary kids. They didn't read good. I had to stop in the middle of the verse and say, hey, stop. Let's read this like you're from California now, folks, and not from the deep south. And you just read so perfect. You know, the first thing I want to point out in this psalm, it's the cry, a man crying out to God. Write that down, verse 1 and 2, a man crying out to God. I don't know what David's problem is. We're not told what his problem is. It's very obvious. The next psalm, he's hiding in a cave from Saul. It's one of two things. I think you'll see he's either hiding from his son Absalom or he's hiding from Ahithophel. Ahithophel was his right-hand man for years. Ahithophel, he gave David advice for 20, 25 years, 30 years, just gave him great advice, 35 years. But Ahithophel had a root problem. And you know what it is, I've preached about it. His root problem was he was the grandfather to Bathsheba. He was the grandfather to Uriah, who David had killed. He's the grandfather, the baby that was conceived with Bathsheba that died. And he kept working for David, was so loyal and so loyal, so dedicated, so faithful. But when it came time, he turned. And he gave advice how to kill David. And he said, don't take all these men. I'll go do it myself. I know where he's at. I know how to do it. I'm going to kill David. I'm going to get my revenge nearly 40 years later. I'm going to get my revenge on his life. You know, the root of bitterness goes very deep. The men did not follow his advice. They followed Hushai's advice. But Ahithophel went home, set his house in order, and he hung himself. What an end of a great life. But a life that had a root problem. If you and I don't deal with our root problems, they'll always surface. Here's David. He's being hunted down by Ahithophel. And the Bible says, give ear to my prayer, David said. Oh my God, hide not thyself from myself. Attend unto me. Hear me. I mourn in my complaint and I make a noise. I wonder tonight what you carry in your life and what I carry in my life. We have to just turn to God in prayer. What a privilege to carry how much? Everything, all to God in prayer. I find that David's a man crying out to the Lord. I find that David's a man, secondly, if you write it down, in despair. Number one, David is what? Say it again. David is number one, what? Good. Two, he's a man in despair. I want you to read verse 4 through 10 with me. Will you do that in Psalm 55? Psalm 55, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Ready? Begin. My heart I love hearing you read the Bible. Have you ever been in a point like verse 4, my heart is so pained within me? the terrors of death, fearfulness, verse 5, trembling have come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed. Have you ever been so overwhelmed? It's way beyond what you can handle that you said, verse 6, oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I'd fly away. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I'll represent all of us. I've done that a few times. You're young in the Lord, perhaps, or you're young in your marriage, or you're young in life. Perhaps you've not felt like that yet. There's going to come some experiences in your life where you're going to say, I wish I just could fly away. I wish I could just run away. I wish I could just hide. I wish I could get a new start, a new beginning. The answer is not to run. The answer is never to run. And David's crying out, and he's hiding, he's fearful, he's trembling, he's overwhelmed. I want you to see with me in chapter 61. Let's look at 61 real briefly. Let's read verse number 2 about being overwhelmed. Verse 2, 61:2. Ready? Begin. The end of the earth. How about verse, lead me to the rock, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Thou hast been a shelter. Go to 77, please. Chapter 77. Look at verse number 3, chapter 77. Being overwhelmed. Look what he says. Ready, begin. I remembered God. How about if we go to Psalm, I'll skip over, Psalm 142. 142, way toward the end of the Psalms here. Psalm 142, it's 8 times you find being overwhelmed in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, a book of Psalms, I'm sorry. 142, and verse number three. Are you ready? Begin. When my spirit... You're right there. Let's go to 143. How about verse 4? One more. Ready? Begin. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. You know, I've been praying so much this week for Brother Bruce and Chris. Your heart has to be, Chris, overwhelmed these days. It just has to be. You know, preparing for surgery and not knowing all the... You just have to... There's nothing wrong with being overwhelmed. There's something... wrong with living at the point of being overwhelmed and say, I'm going to give up. I'm going to run away. I'll make myself like a bird. I'm going to fly away. You're going to have to face life. It's okay to be overwhelmed. Just don't stay overwhelmed. You have to get out of the depression. I was visiting with a man this week, taking me to the airport, and he was telling me about his father, and his dad's a good man, but the man's wife, age 60, just died. Died suddenly. They, great music writer, played the piano, wrote so many songs, and all of a sudden, the man lives discouraged. Man lives overwhelmed. You know, there are some people that when things like this happen, they just shut themselves away from mankind, everybody. They shut themselves away from family, from grandkids, from everybody. And they quit their job, they're just overwhelmed. You cannot live that way. Hey, child of God, whatever you're facing, you cannot live that way.
Amen.
Cannot live being overwhelmed. God never touches us, but that it's passed through his hand. God knows everything I'm going through. God knows what you're going through. And here's a man in total, go back to Psalm 55. Here's a man in total despair, a man crying out. Look what else he is. He's a man, number 3, that's betrayed. A man who's crying out. A man in despair, a man that's betrayed. Could you read verse 12, 13, and 14 with me? Ready? Begin. For it was not an enemy. This is why I think it's Ahithophel. because they served God together in the house of God, not Absalom, but Ahithophel. I might be wrong. You could figure out if it was somebody else. But he said, it's my own trusted friend. My friend that we work together, we serve together. A preacher called me and or texted me, I guess, and I called him back. And he said, well, he said, I had a member leave our church this week. And I said to the preacher, you were either too strong or too weak. Which one was it? It had to be one of the two. Too strong or too weak? He said, I was too strong for him. You know, don't leave a church with your feathers all ruffled. Just slow down. Don't leave the church because you're ashamed of your kids' outcome in life. Maybe they're going to turn out for God. Maybe one will, maybe the other one will not. Don't run away from church because your kids won't come or because one of your child won't come. Don't run because of some issue in life. And here was David's issue. He said, I feel betrayed. My own friend, the man that was so close to me, he's a traitor. So first of all, we see in Psalm 55, oh, this car is looking birdier every time I look at it. Look at that car. I find that it's a man crying out to his God, a man in despair, a man who's betrayed. But I find he's a man in prayer. Now things are looking up, isn't it? Would you read verse number 17 for me, please? Verse 17. You have it? Ready? Begin. You know, Brother Jerry, God's shown us there the order, the divine order of how we ought to order our day. Evening, morning at noon. We say morning, evening, morning, noon, and evening. No, that's not the way you order your day. You start your day the night before. You always start your day the night before. That's why it's vain to stay up late and rise up early, the Bible says. You start the night ahead of time, calming the house down. We have Brother Moyer Eventide on the Christian radio broadcast about, I'm going to say, 6 o'clock at night, and we start to calm the night down. And I know it's played in the nighttime in the Philippines, Japan, in the Orient, everywhere, Hong Kong, everywhere is being played at 16 hours later, and we're calming them down, but we're thinking about our area here. I believe you ought to calm your house down. I don't believe you ought to stay up all night watching videos and watching movies and watching all these things. I believe you ought to calm your house down. I believe that you ought to get your clothes lined up for the next day. I believe you ought to have breakfast all ready to go. If you're going to make something, then you have it all ready to go. I just believe that at nighttime you calm it down and you go to bed early. Now, I don't practice it all the time. I go to bed all hours of the night. Last night was the first night. I'm telling you, I'm never in bed by 10 o'clock. I'm never. And at 10 o'clock, I went to bed last night. Got home and got an earlier flight. Got home. I felt so good. I went right to sleep. I'd been up for a long time, 3 hours different. And I went to sleep. And I woke up. And I said, Lord, thank you for the good night of rest. Boy, I feel good. I am so excited about the day. I prayed that. And I lifted my head up, and it was 11 o'clock at night. Brother Raisley, I did the same thing at 12 o'clock. I did the same thing at 2 o'clock. After that, I didn't sleep very much. But you know, you start in the evening. Clarence Sexton taught me this years ago. He's with the Lord. You calm the house down. You plan your day's routine for the next day. And so at nighttime, you calm the house. And then you go from evening to morning and at noon. And then you start it all over the next day. We start church here at 6:30. We're out generally by 7:30. You get home at a good hour. Your kids are on the program tonight from sixth grade and below, and they're going to get home in a good hour tonight. And you're going to have a little family time and popcorn or whatever you want with them. But here is a man that prayed. And he said, Lord, evening I'm going to pray. Morning I'll pray. And at noon I'll pray. And cry out aloud, and he shall hear my voice. God is going to hear me in my condition. Look at the fourth thing I find. A man crying out to God. A man in despair. A man betrayed. A man in prayer. Lastly, I save this for last because I want you to remember this verse. I want you to remember a 55 Chevy. I saw a 55 Chevy at the old Chase Chevrolet. The sign is still there. They advertise that mall over there on, I know what it's called, but I can't think of it right here, on Stevens Creek. What is that called? What is it? Yeah, right across the street, across the street. Santana Road, that's it. That big old sign that's up there used to say Chevrolet on it. They bought the Chevrolet dealership, tore it out, and moved it down the street. It's on the corner of San Tomas now and El Camino, or Stevens Creek. But at the old place, they literally brought in a 55 Chevy. Yeah, I want to go so badly, I never get to go. But they have an annual car show on Pebble Beach the last week of August. We're going to go to that one of these days, fellas. I'm talking about they have every new car. They put tents up. The tents have marble floors. They have glass walls. They have free Starbucks everywhere. Amen. And they have all the new cars of all the different brands of cars. And they have all the old cars. And they have an auction. It's just amazing. I'm going to go sometime. We're going to go see this thing. What year you want to go? In the millennium, or when do you want to go? We're going to go see it. I'll tell you. I love going by myself. I'll get lost from you. I like just looking at it. Look at that interior. Look at that. They had carpet on the floor. Now, all the 150s and the 210s didn't have carpet. But the Bel Air, look at that. That's a beautiful car. And you know, for the first time, you could buy a V8 engine. Now you call them 5.0 and 4.0. What's a 4.0? What does that even mean? What about a 265? This was a 235 engine, or a 265 engine, or a 283, or a 327. Now that's Chevy right there. Ford never really had any good motors, I don't think, Brother Bill. I don't think they ever did. Did they ever have any good motors? Well, they had the 289 and the 302. That was a pretty good motor. 4.0. What does 4.0 mean? I literally have no idea. Brother Mike, you would know. What is that? You tell me afterwards what that means. You know what it means? Oh boy, cubic inches. Who knows about that? Cubic. We don't go by cubics around here. We go by yards and inches. I love just looking at the car. I look at the hubcaps. If I can, sometimes I have them raised. I like to look underneath the car. I love it. I want to give you Psalm 55 and one verse. I want you to memorize it because you quote it all the time, but you don't know where it's found. It's found where this 55 Chevy's found. Verse 22. You know this verse, don't you? If I read the verse before tonight, you would say, I know it's in the Bible somewhere. Let's read verse 22. Ready? Begin. Cast thy burden. How many have ever heard that verse before? Let me see. Almost everyone, put them down. How many knew it was in Psalm 55? Just a few of you. Well, tonight I want you to memorize Psalm 55, verse 22, before the next Wednesday night. When God says, I want you to cast, it's like a fisherman casting out his line. God said, I want you to cast all your burdens. What burdens are you carrying tonight? Are you overwhelmed with your burden? If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager care, just remember in his word how he feeds the little bird. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave it. You're being chased by Ahithophel, your trusted friend. You're crying out to God. You're in despair. You're being betrayed, your disloyalty. I gave my life to my son, my sons, my daughter, my daughters. I gave my life for them, and look what I'm getting in return. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he'll surely bring you out. He will.
Amen.
I promise you, he will bring you out.
Yep.
I won't tell you the whole story because you've heard it so many times, but the janitor of the church wrote that song. He was an old black man. And the pastor of the church died. And they came to the janitor and said, "You're the most godly man in our church." He said, "I'm a black man. This is a white church." They said, "But you're the most godly man in our church. We want you to be our pastor." He said, "I'm not educated." They said, "We want you to be our pastor." They voted him in as a pastor. The church grew to 100, to 500, to 1,000, to 1,500, to 2,000. He built a 3,000-seat auditorium, and he filled it. He wrote that song.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.